Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello, everyone. So here we are again. We've caught a glimpse of what could be with FPL this weekend, as many managers have obtained the rarely seen full house. Rule players returning and 100 club galore, basically, all over my ex timeline and all my FPL related to group chats, etc., etc. All swiftly muted, of course, because that hasn't been the case for the denizens of this humble podcast. Increasingly downtrodden as we near season's end, and we're kind of here, sat on the cusp, the very precipice of a big double, the big double game we've all been planning for ages, which we hope, I guess, holds the key to our salvation. But we shall see. A quick note again: the baby is asleep. My partner's just come back from her exercise class, so if I hear a cry I may have to run, and Sam will have to just try to flannel it to the camera for a little while before I return. But hopefully all good. And yes, joined by Sam as always, browbeaten and bruised, but still here, which is always a good thing, especially when it comes to co-hosts on this particular podcast, and here to help find some heroes again today. All right, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. It'll take a lot more than a bad couple of FPL game weeks to get rid of me that easily. I still fully intend on breaking the curse eventually of the WGTA co-host, but this season probably isn't the year looking at it so far. In the meantime, though, hoping to break that curse for the last 2 weeks of the season, we are Who Got the Assist. On today's pod, we'll get straight into it this week. Obviously, double game week 37 is going to be in full focus. Bench boosts are mostly in play. I think I've seen a few free hits, a couple of triple captains out there, but there are, of course, a lot of locks in our teams throughout the player base. But we will be covering off the key men, of course, and also be covering what to do if you're just playing through or even having the free hit in play or triple captain, as I mentioned. Somewhere in here too, we'll throw in a bold claims update and discuss the best captain, as well as sharing our plans at the end. It is the 6th of May. It's halftime during the Palace United game. Palace are battering United, it must be said at the moment, 2-0. Two great goals as well, I have to admit. And both Tom and I have one player in the game. Tom has Dalot, I have Garnacho. Neither are looking too promising just yet. Although if either one of them scores, I'm sure we'll probably be taking a brief pause and going and dancing out in the rain for 5 minutes or so. So don't worry about that if there's a bit of silence after a loud scream from one of us. Scores on the doors first though, right, Tom?
Yeah, let's do it. So yeah, as you probably gathered, it's not been incredible for either of us. Last week, by the way, just because we hadn't had the result of the Spurs Chelsea other game come through.
Of course, yeah.
I think we both ended up kind of with you had a much bigger red than me due to the minus eight you took. My minus four, I think it was like Petrovic's double clean. Double clean sheet, wasn't it? No, it wasn't.
But the clean sheet was 9 points or something.
Got him into double figures, and that kind of meant that I stayed just inside top 100k. But this week, I am outside the top 100k, just turning the page over to that. Not been great. So basically, I did the pod about edges, and I, with Bruno, the news that he was a little bit doubtful, it did seem to me that I had an opportunity, and that opportunity was to go triple city attack instead of buying Guardiol. And I took it. I bought Kevin De Bruyne. And I was very excited before the game week. I guess that's what it's all about. And also, Bradley went out for Livramento. And I suppose, that excitement is kind of what FPL is all about. I was really excited for that game. You know, De Bruyne had a really good record against Wolves. It just felt like a game which was set up for, all three of them really to come through. Obviously, Captain Haaland, which was obviously great. But yeah, it just didn't happen for De Bruyne, and I really needed a return from him. I didn't think I'd be getting one from Dalot. Burnley scored a random, the equaliser, the consolation we all thought they were going to score. So Livramento only got two. De Bruyne just didn't look at the races. He looked like he had just a bit of a bad day at the office, really, unfortunately. And I really needed the points from him, really did this week. But it didn't come through. Can't legislate for that. Put myself in a position to be lucky. Five goals in the game, I think on another day, hashtag variance, that you'd expect to see De Bruyne doing points within that context. So it's a bit disappointing. Another red arrow down from 88k to probably just outside the top 100k. The big reason for that is Nick Jackson. There's going to be loads of bench jam effectively for people who wildcard in 35, didn't really know what to do. I sold Bruno for De Bruyne. I'm kind of glad I don't have Bruno anymore, because I think he's going to be a bit of a head scratcher really for the rest of this, especially if he's a bit of a doubt for the double. Obviously need to see, but I think that we can kind of weave that in a little bit here, Sam, too. It's 88 net, which is okay, but in a week where people were getting kind of 120, 130, returning those four houses I mentioned, it's not been fantastic. I'm just shocked that I've not fallen further. It's only been kind of 16k, 17k places that I've lost, and I'm still just outside top 100k. Hopefully, if I get a good 37 on bench boost, then all will be right. It would have been great to kind of be clinging on to top 100k. I basically Dalot to score a goal. I don't likely. So yeah, there we go. And for you, I know that you kind of eventually kind of end up just grabbing Guardiola, didn't you?
Yeah, so I had a bit of an interesting Friday. So I made my transfer for Guardiola quite early on in the day, got that sorted. Obviously, I was fairly confident on removing Van Heek for him anyway. Van Heek was a doubt. Obviously, he didn't play or even make the bench, as far as I know, for Brighton the other day. So seems like that worked in my favour. The second transfer I was going to make was probably for a -4 to remove João Pedro or Garnacho for Bruno. The Bruno thing with the doubt probably removed from my mind pretty early on in the day. But the third striker for João Pedro to probably likely Ollie Watkins out of anyone, which seems a bit crazy now, but at the time I was pretty convinced it'd be a good move. Although I sadly had to attend to a couple of urgent family matters during the day, and it meant that basically I didn't have any time to really think through my second transfer. So I guess in a way I was fortunate not to have made that move and just made the one move, no hit. And it's for that reason that I am on a very, very slight green arrow, which is mad to consider that I'm on 96 points and it's like a 1 point green arrow. The safety score is absolutely ridiculous this week, especially considering it's a single game week as well. I guess we can both be quite thankful we did captain Haaland, which made sure that any red arrow couldn't be too ridiculously big, and it did give us a little bit of a safety blanket there.
Close, weren't we? Like last week, yeah. We were both kind of saying to each other, I think it got towards the end of the week. I don't know. It just kind of felt like it made a lot more sense to default. I can't really remember what the conversation was, but I think we kind of worked through it, didn't we? Just over chat, over voice notes and things. And we're both kind of like, I just don't really see really how I can go against this. And there's so many people I know that had a punt on De Bruyne, had a punt on Foden or something like that. And some people have come up with green arrows, which is obviously amazing if you've managed to do that, maybe a bit lower down the leagues. But missing out on that with the captaincy would have been a story, but also something that would have been pretty fatal, I think. So phew.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, it's good to take those risks. Sometimes you're taking them in a calculated way. There were good matchups this week and good fixtures to attack. By the end of the game week, once I'd assessed Wolves a little bit deeper and had a look at City's attacking data recently, I did chicken out of it and went with Haaland because it just seemed to make the most sense for me. But yeah, I would completely understand if someone went against it. It it is just one of those unlucky variance swings that happen once or twice a season. Hopefully it hasn't hurt you too hard if you're out there and that has happened to you. Obviously it can go another way in any given game week. So definitely don't be scared off of doing it another time if that's what you're thinking at the moment. But yeah, so obviously at the moment I've got 9 out of 11 returners, the Shah out for the season, a little bit of bench jam going on there for Gusto for one extra point. And then Garnacho obviously blanking at the moment, but with 45 minutes to go, honestly, watching the first half, it doesn't seem likely he's getting anything, but we live in hope. So fingers crossed. And that would actually probably be enough to take me right into the outskirts of top 100K if he were to get a goal. So yeah, fingers crossed on that. And that would also take me into the 100 club for the week. So yeah, fingers crossed, but we'll wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, very good. I think we are neck and neck, aren't we? I don't know. I haven't checked, actually, to be honest.
I think you're 6-7 points ahead of me, but yeah.
It's nothing. It's like one player doing well. And this week is going to be that kind of week for a lot of people. It is the week that we've all been planning for so long. We've been wildcarded what seems like eons ago in game week 30 in preparation for this. But it kind of feels like we've got a bit of steam between game week kind of 30 to 31, 32, 33, and then suddenly it's all kind of become a bit of a slog since then. Not a bad way. I'm still optimistic. I know that you're kind of maybe more neutral on the optimism, but I'm still a 4 out of 5 on the Likert scale. And but yeah, this week we can only be doing one thing, which is the double game week preview. So in terms of kind of key issues this week, I suppose it is, as Sam mentioned, looking at bench boost and looking at if you are free hitting, we'll kind of try to speak to that a little bit. If you're running through as well, we'll definitely speak to that. The key picks, who are the key men? I think a lot of this is going to be bread and butter, but it is what it is. But we have to discuss it just in case there are some sort of opportunities, which I think we are going to try to explore hunt for during this pod. Differentials, time for heroes. Again, we really need to find some. My team is actually quite, I think I'm going to end up with like 4 or 5 dice men, which can be quite interesting. But there we go. Single game weekers, where are we going with those? Is there anyone of interest really thinking about game week 38 too? So there's some teams where you might want to consider the game week 38 ramifications of the transfer that you're making and captaincy. Do you go against the robot? I'm not sure I have the cojones, but do you? And very much that depends on your OR, I believe. So yes, a lot to discuss, and I think we'll kind of do our best to just bucket everything up as far as we can and also talk about potential heroes as per the pod title and try to tease out those points. Differentiation / opportunity with the time to shine being now, because you've got no time left. It's almost over, to either your joy or your chagrin. So on screen, if we can go over Sam, that's it. Thank you. We have data for the 6 doubling teams in terms of double game weeks, season XG, season SGC, and the last 6 game weeks are number 1 for XGI. There's going to be no surprises that for Man City, it's Haaland. For Chelsea, it's Palmer. For Newcastle, it's Isak. For Spurs, it's Son. For Man United, it's Bruno. And for Brighton, it's João Pedro.
Easy, pod done.
Yep, we're out of it. Buy those guys. Buy João Pedro.
That's the takeaway.
Although you do have João Pedro, a very happy João Pedro owner, it has to be said. So, although his points are staring at you from the bench, but that's what he can do, Sam. You can miss penalties and score the rebound. But yeah, we'll talk through the teams here in the XG order and talk about our interest. I think a lot of it, as I said, we know a lot of these things are locks now, but there are definitely people out there who are still wondering about these things. With the Bruno potential injury, there's got to be some doubt. I mean, obviously, we don't know anything at the moment at the time of recording, but maybe there's going to be some doubt over him going forward. Or maybe you may look at United and justifiably think they're rubbish. So maybe you might just think, you know, screw it, I'm going to remove Bruno and there's other opportunities out there, which is absolutely fine. I did that myself this week. So, you know, I put money where my mouth is on that one. But to start with Man City, I assume most people are locked now, assuming you're looking at Haaland, Foden, and probably Guardiola, Walker, or something like that. In terms of game 38, as I said, we're going to use that as a watch out. West Ham home in 38. I mean, they announced afternoon that David Moyes is on his bike. It sounds like a Lopetegui is coming in, but there's an absolute hammer's collapse recently. That should be a massive, massive final game week. And you know, I'm very happy about triple attack. But Sam, I suppose the question is, if you are, and again, we know people, most people are going to be locked here, but if you were choosing between triple attack or going with midfielder plus Haaland, would you go with a defender? Like, where were you going to go with this one?
Yeah, I think naturally at the moment you would probably look at defender. And the reason for that isn't necessarily just because Man City are really good at the back, which, okay, XG-wise, they're pretty decent, but they do usually find a way of conceding. I think the more important reason is there really aren't any defenders that I really want that I don't already own outside of Man City defenders. They seem like the best of a bad bunch, really, at this point. I think most of us have one Arsenal defender. Most of us will have one Newcastle, probably Porro as well. And then you're really only looking at one or two spots left. You've got Dalot in your side, of course, already. I think a number of managers will have one Man United, possibly. And then really that leaves either a Gusto, a Brighton asset, which, again, defensively not too bad, but have been leaking goals. And then Man City probably are one step ahead of them. So
that's it, isn't it?
It makes a lot of sense to just lock out with Man City in defence, just because it's the best of a bad bunch and they've got at least a decent chance of keeping a clean sheet, even if they are a bit leaky. Although I would say, as I'm podding with someone with triple City attack, I do like that as a differential. And I think having KDB now, you've bought him at the right time, because if he had hauled ahead of game week 37, everyone would just be locking out with three Man City attackers. I'm not saying you're lucky he blanked, but the fact he's blanked has meant that almost no one is going to look there anymore, because you kind of disregard him immediately as someone that isn't going to give you the upside. But I mean, at 17-18% effective ownership, if you're looking for a bit of a differential, you could easily chase the upside there. Second best XG in the league. Kevin De Bruyne on his day, absolutely fantastic. If you've got slot there, I really like it. And if you don't want to triple up on their attack for game week 38, it's an easy move across to pretty much any other asset in the game from that price point. So I definitely wouldn't be put off or making any sort of immediate changes to get rid of Kevin De Bruyne if you have tripled up in attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those really where you look at the two games and you just think they are very, very encouraging games in terms of the attack. Mm-hmm. And plus the Wolves game was that too, as proved. And that's what I really liked about it. And as you say, you're having that triple up. That's the potential hero here. Mm. Perhaps, yeah, De Bruyne in and of himself is a triple up. And that's a really good point as well, that there's definitely going to be some recency surrounding not looking at De Bruyne. But I wouldn't take that game. I think it was a bad day at the office. I was watching him fairly closely because obviously I was owning him and hoping for a return. But, you know, the hero, I suppose, is going to be, if you do go with City, a KDB, or even if you've got a striker slot free, say you're still carrying, like I am, a Semenya or something like that, you could consider someone like Alvarez and just think, you know what, he might get kind of 90 minutes in the double. Both good attacking games, starts one, benched one. I don't think it's very likely. I think probably he's likeliest to come off the bench twice. It's one of those where he could play a role for you, but I think there's probably a better option at Newcastle if you're in that kind of area, or definitely a better option at Chelsea. You're right in terms of that. And I think also it's just defaulting to the defender makes a lot of sense. And you did that yourself. And maybe there was an element where I was kind of thinking, oh, I could keep it simple, stupid. But you know, I got the feels. At this point in the season, it is about the vibes. There is a little bit of obviously statistical backup. But I got the feels about going for a triple attack as a differential. But yeah, you know, second best attack and also second best defence in the league. And both of those fixtures, to me, don't really scream clean sheet for City, knowing what they can be like. But you know, in Guardiola, you've got a player who is just ridiculously advanced at the moment, playing that kind of auxiliary left winger role a lot of the time, and that's a very positive thing. I don't think you should ever go for Ederson though. Just don't go there. It came up on the timeline again over the weekend about looking at Ederson if you've got a goalkeeper transfer to make. It's like, no. If you've got any experience with FPL, just everyone's been there once and you've been there, done that, never again. If you haven't done it before, maybe do think about it and just go for it and go through the experience of having the 6-2 binary where he may get a 6, but he almost definitely will get a 2. But yeah, enjoy that. And yeah, I think the main hero here really is kind of going for maybe playing it differently. So going through that kind of the triple attack if you can. I really like it, and I think the remaining three fixtures really lend themselves to that. Like, there's going to be one proper slapping in that game in that roster. I'm really happy about having the triple attack, but equally I'd be really happy about having Guardiola. It's kind of one of those times where you wish you'd had four.
He's almost a Cancelo type figure, right? Where the attacking returns are also potentially there now. He is playing so advanced and he does love a shot. So I really don't hate it as an attacking option with a slight clean sheet potential as well.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I'm not against it at all. But yeah, I assume most people are going to be locked there now on City. So let's move on to Chelsea. Sam, big question. Are they actually good? Last six game weeks, second for XG, just behind Liverpool. I mean, literally just so it's like 0.5 of an XG or something. So are they actually good now? Are they actually maturing?
Yeah, it looks promising, doesn't it? And I think they'll be one of those sides that will go into next season looking for bargains from them, because I think the likes of Madueke, Gusto, even Palmer as well will be very, very interesting to us, even with Palmer's inevitable price rise. And the likes of Jackson, of course, who's been absolutely fantastic recently. All of those will be interesting options next season if they can maintain this form in the back end of the season. And realistically, it doesn't really look like going away anytime soon. I think for quite a while now, they've looked promising going forward. And at the back, I wouldn't say they've been tight, but they look like they're getting their act together just that little bit now. And they look like they're more of a coherent unit, even with injuries still plaguing them. So, yeah, I think Chelsea are now a team that we can probably back more often than not back to beat the weaker sides and therefore start targeting their attackers in specific game weeks. Now, obviously, this double game week with Forest and Brighton in it seems like a pretty good opportunity to do so, even if they are both away fixtures. Palmer's clearly going to be a lock in every single side. I think he's 99.9% owned in the top 100K at this point. So there is nothing you're going to gain from Palmer. But there are options outside of that in attack. Obviously, Jackson, I think, was 35-40% EO at our rank. Noni Madueke, though, is under 1% owned still, and he's been brilliant recently and as locked into that starting 11 as either of the other two. So, yeah, I think there are options there. And if I wasn't tripled up already, I'd be looking at moving assets around for Chelsea players.
Certainly. I mean, two good attacking games in a double, you'd imagine. The only thing that kind of punctured that narrative for me, and again, we are towards the end of the season, pure vibes, there's loads of different kind of contextual factors which change things. But you know, Nottingham Forest and Brighton are equal fifth for XGC this season.
Surprising, right?
Really surprising indeed. But I mean, I think it's kind of watching how they played. Maybe it is just a symptomatic of what's going on with their opposition, potentially. But there's definitely kind of something to be said for this. And I think, you know, is it time to say sorry to Nick Jackson? Is he for real, Sam? I think we were saved somewhat by a lower than expected EO this week, but surely we have to be strongly considering him now. I said last week that I was considering kind of moving Gusto on to eventually get Jackson in, and that I think is going to be my plan. I know that that's incredibly boring, honestly. 200,000 transfers in for Jackson already, just behind Haaland. So people have kind of decided they don't want, very strange, who's got almost 300,000 transfers in. Jackson, his overall ownership is just kind of nudging 13%. Although, obviously, in the engaged core, i.e. the top 100K, that's likely to be kind of blanket hygiene next week. I mean, for me, it's pretty, I don't think it's much of a shock that I'm going to be probably buying him in. Bournemouth and 38 as well, who are done, dusted. All their carrots have been kind of one for the season, have been eaten for the season. Do you obtain your carrots? Do you eat your carrots? All their flowers.
You get your carrots?
I don't know. All their flowers have been set off 3-0. All their carrots have been all the flowers have been obtained for the season. So yeah, maybe that's a good game in 38. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna have to get Jackson, to be honest. I was thinking, I could get a Hoyland's, just hope Gusto plays. Judging by tonight's performance, even if Bruno's back in the team, the double for United is rubbish, they're rubbish, et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so on. Jackson, why, Sam, are you going to be sofaing it, or do you, like me, have a plan to bring him in?
But the only way I can bring him in is for a minus eight at this point. There's literally no other combination I can use to bring him in, and I personally don't see it unless... The only way that I could see it happening is if Gusto is ruled out of game week 37 and it forces me to take Gusto and Shah out. If that's the case, then I'm at least on a minus four anyway, and I wouldn't really want to be looking at another Chelsea defender. So then obviously João Pedro comes into focus as, okay, for an extra minus four, I've got now got the Chelsea slot three. Might I as well just take that hit as well? But yeah, outside of that, I've got one issue I need to sort, which is Fabian Schär. So that's my free transfer done. And then anything else I do, if it's a double swap, obviously needs to be a minus eight. Is removing João Pedro for a minus eight a good idea for Jackson? It could pay off. I don't think it will, especially when João Pedro is on penalties and Jackson is not. It always feels risky to do so, even in a double game week. So, look, I think he's a great pick. I wish I could get there, but for a minus eight, unless Gusto is actually out, and it doesn't look like he will be, I think it's going to be a sit behind the sofa and cross all my fingers and hope it's okay and hope my other players can cover him off. So, yeah, I don't think I can get there, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's yeah, I feel for you. I think there's kind of, I think we'll get on to it and talk about your team, but there's definitely quite a few problems that you've been having recently, and I think this kind of maybe crystallizes it a little bit, where there's going to be one player that you're going to be pretty worried about, and Jackson is going to be one of those, really. I kind of feel like I, even though there's obviously some Darwin vibes about him, and we've both kind of done him down a little bit on the pod, I think that he's definitely one that seems to have found his groove alongside Chelsea. And I think I'd be pretty happy with kind of just getting that done. There are some potential heroes. You mentioned Noni Madueke, two double-digit hauls in the last three, and Conor Gallagher as well, as Anthony used to say. Three returns in three for him as well. Yeah, I'm fairly okay with Chelsea, to be honest, I never thought I'd say. I mean, both got Petrovic, so that's kind of all right. That's kind of all sorted. And then I think, you know, Gusto, my worry is that he might not play both. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're looking at minutes, aren't you? And then you're hoping that whoever you bring on in competition with Mr. Jackson is going to be competitive at least, and you know, there are things to cling to. So we've looked at mentioned the SGC for Brighton and Forest not being pretty good, and that could be all right, because at the end of the day there's a lot of kind of feeling that, you know, as with Newcastle, who we'll come on to in a second, the superpower for Chelsea is Stamford Bridge a lot of the time. It might be those two games are a lot more difficult than we realize. So I think it's okay either way. Like, I wouldn't be too panicked about Jackson. I've got an opportunity to do it. I think I will do it. But yeah, I mean, you're not that worried, are you, really, about him?
Not crazy worried. I mean, he's not Erling Haaland. If it was someone who's been explosive for several seasons, then I'd be panicking and probably willing to take a minus eight to get there. But there are very few players in the game that, even in a double game week, I'd take a minus eight because I'm that scared of, and Jackson hasn't quite, he's been good, don't get me wrong. And I'd probably, if it was for like one single minus four, I'd probably be tempted to go there. But because it is that little bit further to push, can he make up an 8-point gap when otherwise I might not need to take a hit anyway, especially when the player that is going to play instead of him is on penalties and has really good underlying data himself anyway, even if he has been frustrating. Until very recently, Jackson was exactly that. He good underlying data, albeit not even on penalties, and frustrating as hell. Maybe that there's a case to say that's João Pedro at the moment. So, yeah, I just don't think it's worth a minus eight most weeks. Obviously, there are universes where that does pay off. and this might be one of them, but more often than not, I would say it's probably not going to pay off for me. For a minus four, I'd probably just about chance it. For a minus eight, nah, don't think so.
I feel you. Okay, fair play. So, if you wildcard in 35, you are locked here. There's nothing to worry about. There's definitely kind of some interest in the likes of Noni Madueke, who seems to have made his case over the likes of Raheem Sterling. So maybe potentially a hero there. Jackson won't be a hero unless you are kind of maybe kind of not really where you want to be. He could be a fairly decent buy, I think, but yeah, most people are going to be locked there. And the same with Newcastle. Most people are going to be locked here too. A really good attacking double, especially the shambles of the team playing at the moment, Man United. They are away. I heard that Newcastle were rubbish away before this weekend. I don't know who was pushing that. I can't remember.
But they hadn't played Burnley yet.
maybe. We'll save potential captaincy chat till later on. But I do want to kind of reference one of the chats that we had, Sam, offline, which is about Wilson being a potential hero. So if you have a slot open, potentially, if you are selling Mr. Shah, Wilson played, and it looked like, to some extent, he had Isak a little bit off his game, the senior man on the pitch, etc. Could there be a repeat of the heroics of last season, Sam? I mean, if you do sell Shah for somebody, there definitely is potentially a scope for you to sell Pedro to Wilson. I don't think I wouldn't do it, because obviously you've got a doubler there, like, screw it, why not? But I mean, he could be an option for people, couldn't he, as a potential hero?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously got fond memories. I think that a lot of people listening will have good memories of Wilson from last season if you did captain him that week. And yeah, when he's fit, he's absolutely phenomenal. His XG per 90 is 0.8 this season, which is just a madness. He's not even on penalties at this point either. Although now Isak's missed one, I wouldn't be that surprised to see him take them back when he's on the pitch. So yeah, I think he's absolutely fantastic. The only problem Wilson ever has is fitness. If he's even slightly a doubt for the double game week, then it's hard to go there, because can he play twice? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. But if I can get 120 minutes out of him, I would genuinely prefer him over João Pedro at this point. I think because I can get to him for a minus four, I can obviously only do Jackson for a minus eight. Wilson for a minus four, in removing Fabian Schär as well in the process, feels more sensible and it feels more likely to pay off for me. So it's definitely on my radar.
It's a lovely differential. It really is.
Go on.
You've literally butted in. And
I've literally butted in. My apologies. Very rude of me. No, what I was going to say is, obviously, for the minus four, that does make sense. But there are other factors to weigh in on. Obviously, João Pedro himself is a differential at this point, so he could be a hero. And then also, I could just play it sensible, not take the hit, and remove Fabian Schär for either a Livramento, a Dan Burn, or someone that I'd be quite interested in, hopefully we'll talk about in just a moment's time, Kieran Trippier. So one of those players could be my hero. Obviously, Dan Burn is, 4-0, at least say again, United are really bad, aren't they? Before we get onto that, so Dan Burn, maybe not a hero, but pretty good hygiene pick just to cover off any clean sheets.
Yeah.
But if Kieran Trippier is fit, or of course you could look at Livramento if not, one of those could be decent options. So yeah, I like Wilson a lot. It's just whether or not there are easier options, even if they are a bit more boring, that could still be a net positive for me without having to take the hit.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I bought Livramento this week. For he always looks like he's got that forward-looking element to his game, I suppose, as we saw at Southampton.
Yeah, he's played right wing before, so yeah.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be one of those players who could do something. I think he had a decent shot in the first half. Last game, a couple of key passes, and now he's completing 90 minutes like consecutively out of nowhere off his injury, which is good. If Trippier does come back, there's definitely a lot of chat from Newcastle fans that, Livramento rather than Hall would play left back. I don't know. I mean, he is literally just there as a punt. He is 4 million. If I get, you know, two starts out of double, that is dreamland. If I get one start and maybe one off the bench, that's absolutely fine. I don't know whether Trippier is, I mean, he's kind of come back from his warm weather training or something like that, expected to start come back and training this week. I'm not sure what that means, that he kind of goes straight back into the team. If he does, then fair play, it's a failed pump effectively. But I don't know whether he does do that, especially with Newcastle seemingly being able to win okay without him. I don't know whether he just kind of comes in for 37, maybe 38. The Man United game, 37 or 38, whatever. I'm pretty happy with going with him. Ultra differential as well. But yeah, he's ultra differential for a reason that you can't be happy with the minutes. I don't know, Sam. I can't really make a case for looking at Trippier. I feel like he would just be maybe a bridge too far. Even if you're on free hit, I'm not sure I could see myself going there. I mean, are you warmer on him than I am?
Yeah, I am. To put it simply, I think he's that important that if he's anywhere near fit, they'll try and start him for what are two really, really important games for Newcastle to get as close to, if not Europa League football as possible. They are playing very, very well at the moment. Brighton and Man United, both winnable games, but Man United in particular will be an incredibly important game for them for league position. And if he's been training off in Dubai, trying to get fit, and the rumours are he's been trying to get fit for that Brighton game, if that is the case, then I would love to have him. He's going to be an ultimate differential. I'm going to keep my ear to the ground. We rarely hear early team news about Newcastle, which is the issue. I think they've got the 3 o'clock kickoff, so it's unlikely we hear anything. So it must be said that it's unlikely I actually do go there without any sort of positive confirmation through the grapevine somewhere. But if that does come, he will be my first transfer in this week. If I hear he's starting the first of the double game week, I'll go there, almost certainly.
Okay. Well, there you go. Interesting one. Brentford away in 38. So removing a player that week is probably maybe something worth thinking about as well. So if you've got a Gordon or something, removing him from an Arsenal asset could be worth factoring into your thoughts as well. So do I leave enough money in the bank, assuming you don't have a Saka or something hanging around? I've got an opportunity potentially to remove Gordon for Havertz. I think it could be, but it leaves me with a benching headache and all that sort of thing. So maybe we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, one to kind of bear in mind, maybe you won't want to be a part of that on the final day. Next up is Spurs. The headline here is surely two is enough. looking spent, yeah, albeit some flash of quality in the final 20 minutes versus Liverpool. All, I guess, attributable to Richarlison, who came off the bench for a goal and an assist for Sonny. Potential hero there. I mean, if there is a Bruno Fernandes kind of problem, or if you're on free hit or something, Sam, could he be a player that you'd be considering? Because against Burnley, for example, with the change that he made to how Spurs' energy, I guess, on the field, surely he plays against Burnley, and surely that's a really good game to have a player like Richarlison, who, and for a lot of us, are going to be, we're all going to be locked with our midfield. So if you are free hitting, surely he's the guy who you could be bringing in if you're in that situation, if you are free hitting, and be kind of, you know, potentially rewarded with someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like Richarlison. I'm a Garnacho owner. He's not exactly doing much at the moment. So if I was to take a -4 and left João Pedro in there, then manoeuvring Garnacho to someone like Richarlison, if I'm confident he starts, that first game against Burnley is the carrot. And his XG per 90, I think, is 0.58, even without penalties, playing centre forward and looking really, really sharp when he is playing. There were times this season where he felt almost inevitable to score any single week. Obviously, that was before the injury, and they've taken a lot of time to make sure that he's coming back fit and firing. I'd be very, very surprised, having seen how good and how fired up he was in the back end of that Liverpool game, if he didn't start the Burnley one. And then if that means he gets reduced minutes in the City game and he gets 30 minutes off the bench in that one, that's fine by me. 120 minutes or 100 dead minutes in the double game week, absolutely fine. for a player with that sort of attacking upside. I think it's almost double the XG per 90 than the likes of Garnacho, for instance, and Gordon as well, I believe. So, yeah, this is a player with mega, mega upside, with the best single game of any of the double game week teams. And he plays centre forward out of position. So, yeah, I really like him. And he's mega, mega differential at the moment. I think 2.6% ownership. So, yeah, if you're chasing, I would really, really keep an eye on him.
He's got better XG per 90 than the likes of Bukayo Saka, Ollie Watkins this year. Also better non-pen XGI than those two in the top 10 for both of them. Certainly a bit of a game changer for Spurs. I think that, you know, I've really kind of blown my load on going with the triple City attack, but I think he could be one that you'd be really interested in. Sheffield's nice away on the final day as well for Spurs. So it's well worth a look if you are kind of looking at that. There is this kind of idea that you are all in that Burnley game with Spurs a little bit. A bit of a narrative. I feel a narrative is a very pejorative term now. There's a bit of kind of feeling, certainly amongst Spurs fans, that against City there could be a bit of a moral quandary, a bit of jeopardy for Spurs in terms of, do they roll over to prevent City, to prevent Arsenal winning the league by losing versus City? What do you make of that one? I'm a little bit kind of sceptical about it. I feel if it was more sort of like what the fans want versus what the players want. But it could happen. You could kind of feasibly make the case that likes, you know, Son, Oliver Skip and co are all bought into what the club means, etc. and so on and so on. So might have foot off the gas, or, you know, I don't know, would Ange just play the under-21s? But it does feel like you know, the entire stadium would be supporting City that day. I understand that. But would the players be kind of listening to the message that's being transmitted from those stands? What do you feel about that?
At the end of the day, these are professional footballers. They have lived their lives trying to get to the top of their sport. They are the most competitive people that you could ever imagine. And I don't for one second think that they're not going to put 100% into trying to beat Man City that week. They're still fighting for the highest possible spot in the league. That will mean a lot to them. And yeah, it's all part of the project. Ange will not suffer any falls if he thinks that any of his players aren't ready for the fight against Man City. He won't play them. So whether or not Spurs fans don't like it, I'd be really, really surprised if they didn't try their absolute hardest to beat Man City that week. And then look, at the end of the day, they're probably going to lose anyway. Man City are a superior side. They're absolutely phenomenal at the moment. Even if Spurs play their heart out that week, it's very likely City are going to win anyway. So this kind of just isn't really relevant as far as I'm concerned. They might get a couple of goals. It might be a 4-2, 3-2, but I still think City win, whether Spurs fans think that that's intentional or not. I don't think it really matters at this point, but for what it's worth, I don't think any professional athlete worth their salt goes into a game that big with league position on the line thinking, oh, let's just bung it because our rivals might win the league. Like, no, I'm not having that at all.
No, I'm with you. It feels like a self-fulfilling prophecy because, I mean, the way Ange's team sets up, the way City are at the moment, the mood they're in, even though I did have some sympathy, I saw there's a few kind of discussions about how robotic the football is and how kind of potentially it is a little bit uninspiring that they are rolling teams over. I think it's going to be one of those things where you just wish for it and it will come true. I don't think Spurs fans need to wish too much. We had a discussion a few weeks ago, didn't we, about how Spurs previously have potentially had Man City's number. There's been a few proper humdingers in two of them, Kane particularly doing bits against City in the not too distant past, but it feels like one of those games where you're wishing for City to win, you're probably gonna get your wish regardless of the North London rivalry. And finally with Spurs, defensive shambles. I mean, there are probably going to be some who, especially if you're running through, then I don't think it's very likely. I think probably you would have picked up Porro or something like that. I mean, if you don't have Porro and you kind of don't have a defensive Spurs asset, I mean, there's such a dearth of options, aren't there? But would you just avoid them? at the moment. I suppose the Burnley game, you'd be hoping for a clean sheet potentially, or at least kind of attacking returns from a player like Porro. I don't know what Burnley's XGC is at the moment. It's pretty bad. So fourth from bottom. Maybe that would be the time you'd be looking at it potentially. But yeah, Spurs isn't much better, as you can see on the graphic. I mean, was it 12th, 14th they are? Dear me.
Yeah, look, I mean, with Spurs defensively, we're not really expecting clean sheets at this point. The only saving grace is that Porro is quite advanced. He is getting good underlying attacking data, and there is the Burnley home game there. So if you're trying to find a defender, you don't have a Spurs one in there at the moment, and you're not tripled up elsewhere somehow, then Porro probably just about makes it in by default. But that's only because, again, like I said with Man City, there's just not a ton of defenders that are that great at the moment. Not a lot of teams are keeping clean sheets anyway. So, again, it's a bit cliche, but you might as well take the one with a bit of attacking upside on the off chance that you get lucky. Obviously, that happened to a lot of Porro owners, I think, in game week 33 or 32, was it? Got the goal. And obviously, that has made a huge difference. Burnley is as good a chance as any for a random ish Porro goal. So yeah, I don't hate it. I don't think I'd be ripping apart my teams taking minus fours to get to him at this point. But if you've got a free transfer, there's a lot of defensive issues at the moment for a lot of FPL managers. If you don't have Porro already, then it does make sense to just cover off that base, but I wouldn't be particularly excited about making the move.
Yeah, just the most reluctant purchases, even more reluctant than buying Nick Jackson if you're in that situation. But the dearth of defensive options means that it might as well. I know that like Mikel's algorithm, Porro is the highest rated defender, which I think probably speaks volumes about defenders this year, which is something we'll definitely come back to on the Game Week 38 pod, because, you know, I think it will swing the other way. Next year will be the year of big at the back. It's coming back, Sam. It's coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've seen strikers disappear and come back. I'm sure we'll see the defenders come back too. And defenders. Oh God, Man United. We've got to talk about now.
Currently 4-0 down.
Currently 4-0 down. 16th overall for XGC for the season.
That'll be getting worse now as well, by the way, because they would have had a game in hand.
Oh, sorry, my laughter is horrible. Probably be nudging Burnley. Who knows? But maybe they'll be give it McLaren to the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if Ten Hag goes tonight, to be honest, or anytime soon. And Brighton away on the final day, for what that's worth. I don't know what that's worth, to be honest. I'm regretting buying Dalot all those weeks ago, but here we are. I'm stuck with him now. And the insight of tonight's game is just avoid, avoid, avoid. Given the double, do we need to cover their attack is the question I've written in the running order. You've got Garnacho. I assume you're keeping Garnacho, et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so on.
I don't know. I could easily be taking a minus four to get rid of Garnacho. And previous to this week, I thought my two moves would be to bring in either Trippier or Burn for Shah and bring in Bruno for Garnacho, just because I've been quite hot on Bruno, to be honest. I think he's been putting up really good data, obviously penalties. And when he's in the side, United do look like at least slightly more of a creative force. But if he is a doubt, then obviously that rules him out. And it also makes Garnacho and Hoyland much worse options, again, by default, because they've just got no creator in there serving them with chances. And yeah, obviously we haven't watched the second half, but I'd probably assume, looking at the data on SofaScore, that they've not really been up to much in the second half either. And if Bruno's a doubt, then I don't think that will improve. Garnacho's data isn't exactly fantastic either. And whilst he's been ticking along okay, I think in game week 37, there's plenty of midfielders I'd prefer to have. And even for a hit, I'd say there's a decent chance I have a look at that. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I definitely wouldn't be buying a Man United player at this point unless Bruno is a lock and completely fit. And even then, I'd say maybe look elsewhere, look at the likes of Richarlison. That could be interesting. Even Madueke could be interesting at this point. I'm really, really struggling to vouch for them, especially Hoyland, who has looked completely invisible recently.
Done nothing today. Yeah. Daniel Banks in the chat has said maybe Moyes could come back for a second spell for caretaking for United.
Recent European trophy, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are no heroes here, only villains, and I'm sure that no United fans are going to argue with us, really. I mean, I was looking at Hoyland for this week as a potential idea, but I think both teams they're playing are going to see them as being bait, effectively. one of those teams who've got a crap double that we really should be avoiding. If you've got a player, fine, just leave him there. If you've got Bruno, though, Sam, I mean, is that something you want to be moving on, or would you leave it? I mean, you've spoken about, obviously, the plethora of midfield options. Might it be the case that you just kind of tap out and think, you know what, I prefer a De Bruyne, I prefer even a Richarlison, rather than having a stake in this pile of...
Yeah, I think... If I was a Bruno owner at the moment and we'd seen him training or Ten Hag says he's fit for the game, I'd probably keep him, especially if it was for a hit. I probably wouldn't remove that. Again, always a player on penalties with data of 0.58 XGI per 90, I think it is. He's even if Man United are pretty awful at the moment, he's been ticking along quite nicely. So if he's a doubt, I'd probably remove him. If he's not a doubt, I think it seems like it's unlikely that you don't have bigger issues elsewhere to deal with first. Obviously, if you don't, then you could make a free transfer Bruno to someone like Richarlison, chase the upside there. But I think it might just be forcing it slightly, just maybe on the sheer fact that Man United themselves haven't been good rather than Bruno. I still like Bruno. I think I'm hotter than most on Bruno. It's just a matter of whether he's fit or not. If he's a doubt, I'd probably get rid.
Yep. All right. Fine. Makes a lot of sense. And finally, Brighton. Ciao Pedro. That's basically all I've got in here.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that I need to look for a doubler who plays for either Spurs or Brighton defence, if I'm going to be removing Gusto. Lewis Dunk is kind of I've kind of landed just thinking, yeah, you know what, best XG apart from Gabriel of all the defenders. I mean, honestly, it might happen. Invoking the spirit of Shane Duffy, basically. I know people will be saying, yeah, just get Branthwaite or something, but I might as well get Dublin. That's the rule, right? Not the best Dublin in the world. We all know that. Newcastle away and Chelsea at home. They're fifth for season XGC, so it's definitely going to be a clean sheet there, that's for sure. And Josh on Always Cheating made a good point that they just seem to have this weird ability to conjure a clean sheet out of nowhere in a game that you don't expect them to do so. I've seen against Villa, again, against Brentford, and so on and so on. It's kind of one of those, isn't it, where you just... I feel like I've got to make a transfer for Mr. Gusto in order to get Naxon and Nick Jackson. So I think it's probably going to be Dunk, get Dubler, see what happens. Who knows? Hopefully get a gross in-swing corner and Dunk nods it in. Really, unless you're kind of seriously poking around the edges, and FPL Instincts, I think that's what his name is. I feel bad now. I need to probably look that up. FPL Instinctive, put a nice post out about Veltman versus Webster earlier on this week, which I was just like, well, that's so niche. That's exactly what I'm looking for, but it's
and
so
yet here
niche.
You are, yeah.
I love it. I mean, it's that kind of player that could kind of come in and do a massive job for you. Yeah, I mean, Brighton in general, a bit like kind of how you now see United, except we may have a few sort of remnants if you own United players, but Brighton is just one that you just forget about the fact that they exist, to be honest, unless you happen to have a player already in situ, right?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Obviously, I've only got João Pedro. I don't think he's a must sell, but there are more enticing options out there. For a -4, I could see it being a position I move on this week. The only very, very outside shout that I might be able to hold on to as a respectable call would be Pascal Gross in midfield. 147, 48 points this season with only 15 attacking returns as well. So it's not like he's banging in attacking returns left, right, and center. But when he does, he gets bonus because he ticks all of the boxes for a bonus points monster. So if you want to get lucky, if you can luck out and get one attacking return in each of the matches from him, you're probably looking at 20 plus pointer from Gross. And again, I think he's under 5% owned at this point. If you're looking at that fifth midfielder spot and you're thinking, I need someone who's reliable, going to get 90 minutes or 80 plus minimum every single week on penalties when João Pedro's not on the pitch as well, you could get lucky with someone like Gross. But again, that is really sort of scraping the barrel at this point. And there are definitely five better midfielders out there to pick than him. But in one game week even, you could look at the 10th, 11th, 12th best and you might get lucky with them. So it would be negligent not to consider him. Realistically, there are better options.
Yeah, had the goal chalked off versus Villa, worth mentioning as well. Yep, definitely there. All in all, it's got the ingredients of a very mediocre double game week, really. Could the single game weekers make a difference? So the Arsenal lads versus United, Everton versus Sheffield United on the table. I've got Areola, but that's a very sort of, you know, niche thing. David Moyes' home game, giving him the send-off that he deserves, is what the owner of West Ham has said. Bowen versus Luton, if you're on a free hit, could be someone who you consider. But, I mean, you know, there are some single game weekers around. I mean, we've both got Gabriel, who, and if you've got Arsenal players, you're obviously kind of happy to play them, especially against this. God, it's going to be really embarrassing when we lose that game, isn't it? I mean, single game week is, Sam, I mean, I'm assuming they're not going to be most people's sights. Maybe from my situation, looking for a defender, you would be looking at like a Branthwaite, or maybe looking at kind of doubling up on Arsenal again, getting Benny Blanco. I don't know. It feels like if you've ended up here with singlers, unless there's kind of a real issue with, you know, having to kind of go into the double digits for hits or something like that, that most of the time you're going to be removing them. Am I right to say that?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, there will be non-bench boosters out there who won't need to worry so much. But yeah, there are good single game week fixtures out there. Obviously, Arsenal, you've already mentioned. I think even in some cases, Saka and Havertz could be better options than a few of the double game weekers in midfield and could actually squeeze in as decent differential options for a bench boost, for instance. Obviously, you've already mentioned Branthwaite as well at the back. Everton, not a bad fixture. Probably wouldn't look beyond their defence, though. And then, yeah, Bowen, who has, I think, been set a target of 20 league goals this season, needs a few to get there still, but obviously will have a good go at it against Luton. There are single game weekers out there. I probably wouldn't prioritise many of them as transfers in, but there are a select few of the ones that we've already mentioned that I probably also wouldn't be necessarily selling this week if I had other issues elsewhere. Each on their own merits, not all single game weekers are born equal. And some of them have really good upside potential. So look at each of them on their own merits. If they've got a good fixture and you back them to get good minutes, decent chance for attacking returns, looking at the Arsenal assets in particular, I'd probably just hold on to them at this point.
Yeah, it's a case of hold, don't buy, don't sell, you know, all that sort of stuff, effectively. Yeah. If it's a decent, okay thing. I mean, for me, for example, if you're in a situation where you're looking for a goalkeeper transfer, last year I was trigger happy with goalkeeper transfers. I loved them. I loved doing them. But unless it's for a free transfer, it's just not worth the hit. Mm. It really is not worth the hit. No matter who you've got, apart from Neto. If you've got Neto, then do get rid of him because that's likely to be removing a zero. But other than that, I mean, screw it. I mean, just leave it. Leave it be, whoever you've got. If you're smart, you've probably got Raya sat there, which is absolutely fine. Or you've got Flecken sat there, which is absolutely fine. Well done, double-digit points, you absolute. other than that, I mean, just leave it there. I mean, there's no point in buying, none of these teams, as we've kind of touched on, have got a good chance of keeping those kind of clean sheets that we're looking for. And if you're buying Edison, I mean, Godspeed. effectively. I think just to turn to the those amongst us who are free hitting and just in general for other things, the essentials for this week, Sam, there's definitely going to be a few players who, if you don't own, equals death, effectively. I think obviously Haaland, Isak, Palmer, maybe Son, and almost definitely maybe Gordon as well, are going to be in the mix, maybe an Arsenal defender of some kind, although I can imagine some people are going to be looking at them having a single and thinking, oh, you know what, I'll swap it over. Don't do it. Just keep them if you are in that sort of quandary. But outside of that, I mean, it feels like kind of one City midfielder somewhere is all right. Is worth getting. One Newcastle defensive cover, if you're not fancying Wilson, is worth getting. And then maybe Porro. I mean, that kind of feels like it, doesn't it? I mean, there's not too much scope for differentiation, really. It's going to be, as we spoke about last week, in the triple ups and how you kind of change that and thinking that there's kind of compound differentials going on in terms of you having a unique team that other people don't have. It's quite a straightforward list, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you nailed the list by the way as well. I don't think there's any extra players there that I'd say are absolutely essential to have in your side. But obviously, just those players by themselves are all going to be 50%+ effective ownership as well. And so the differential in itself is having all of them as a kind of a compound thing, like with that third asset as well, as you mentioned, that third Chelsea asset being a Jackson versus a Gusto, or that third Newcastle asset being a defender versus a Wilson, or Madueke for Chelsea as well, for instance. All of these little bits and pieces, those edge pieces, are going to be what makes the difference this week. The likes of Isak, Haaland, Palmer aren't going to do that for you anymore if you're in and amongst the top ranks. So yeah, it's just trying to figure out how best to consolidate with the other edge pieces and find those heroes, which is, of course, the title of the pod.
Nice. I like that. How many hits do you take, Sam? No, we're close to the end now.
All of them.
remove everyone. Minus 20. I mean, realistically, what are we looking for here? I mean, obviously, it's very, very kind of team dependent. Even game week 35, wildcarders may be looking at a minus four. Is that kind of okay? I mean, how far are you going to kind of go into this?
Look, I think a minus four will be very common this week. Even the game week 35 wildcarders seem to not have gotten away with everything with no injuries between then and now. So I'd be very surprised if minus fours weren't pretty common this week to set up for the bench boost. Obviously, not everyone's even going to be that well set up, so might need to take minus eight, minus 12. But one thing I would probably note, usually at this point, I would come back and say, obviously, each hit is dependent on who you're removing to who you're bringing in. If you're removing a singular for a doubler, then already you're halfway there with appearance points alone. So it is difficult, but with this week in particular, bench boost is extremely popular, but you could also potentially look at deferring the bench boost to game week 38 and really try and get lucky. That is going to be a very high risk strategy. But if you're looking at something like a minus 12, minus 16, then maybe deferring one of those transfers, two of those transfers, and setting up, hoping a couple of players come back and trying to bench boost in game week 38 might be a way to look at it. Realistically, though, I think up to a minus 12 is probably just about acceptable in very limited circumstances. Obviously, it's player dependent. Injuries, if you're removing a player that's injured, like a Fabian Schär, a Van Heck, someone like that, then even for a hit, it makes perfect sense because you're almost certain to get, well, in most cases, going to get more than 4 points back from whoever you bring in over the next two game weeks. But a lot of us probably only have two or three injuries at a push anyway. So beyond that, it's going to probably hurt you to be taking minus 12, minus 16, minus 20. It all depends on what the hit is, though. If you're bringing in high upside players, then, you know, it could work out. It's just the time frame is now pretty limited to do so. So minus eight, I'd say, is probably okay. Anything beyond that, you're starting to run real risks.
Yeah. You're probably about right. I mean, the only thing I would say is just look at game week 38 as well in terms of changes you're making. What are you going to do that week as well? If you're taking a hit, I mean, there's not much of a season left. Normally, if we're taking a hit, make sure it's a hit for the long term. At this point, make sure you're taking a hit with a player that you wouldn't be happy to play over in 38. Maybe you may be looking at a switcheroo. I don't know. But most of the time, yeah, just keep it chill. It'll be all right. Cool. Okay. Well, I think that's kind of round off the double game. We've made a lot of work of that, Sam, actually, over an hour. I'm pretty happy with that. I don't know how I've managed to get there. Bold Claims is next. It's close. 8-7 to me still. It didn't really work out for either of us. I wish that I'd had three returns for mine. I had a Salah hat-trick as my bold claim. I wish I had a hat-trick of returns rather than hat-trick. Oh, so close. But yeah, it could have happened. It could have happened, Sam. And Brighton Villa didn't quite go the way you anticipated, did it?
Brighton Villa wasn't my bold claim. I don't know what you think it is.
Chelsea West Ham. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no. It was Chelsea West Ham. Yeah, so I went 6+ goals in that one. Very close. I think I was 1 of 3 Jarrod Bowen post/bars away from hitting this one. Only 5 goals in it in the end. So a bit of a terrible game. Bit boring, really. We were both incredibly close on this one, but we don't get points for close, do we, Tom? So 8-7 it remains.
No, don't get anything for nearly. And this week, where are we?
Yeah, so I thought I'd back my boy in the hope that I wouldn't need to take a -4/-8 to remove him. And I've gone with João Pedro to outscore Nick Jackson, more out of hope than expectation. But that is why it's a bold claim. He is on penalties. The data is good, not as good as Jackson's, but you never know. Might get lucky. And it is a direct head-to-head. So fingers crossed this one pays off for me.
Okay, fair play. And for me, as usual, it is defender to be the top scoring player in the double game week. Hopefully it's Lewis Dunk.
Could be.
We will see. There's always one that pulls it out of nowhere. I'm sure it'll be like Daniel Munoz, who's got 2 assists tonight. Looking at that and thinking, man on to in the chat earlier on, he's doing exactly what we want him to do in 34. Yeah, exactly how it's going to feel, isn't it? Right, final thing to cover before we move on to our plan teams. Who's the best captain this week? Do you have the cojones to go against Haaland? I was going to look at Isak. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at Isak because the fixtures are great, but surely not now. Surely it's difficult to overlook the robot, Sam.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And if people are starting to forget just how lethal he can be, he gave us a pretty good reminder against Wolves. So, yeah, unfortunately for anyone looking to differentiate, he did look back to his best. Even though he did get 2 penalties, the other finishes and the runs he was making, he looked sharp. So it's pretty hard to look past him. Although I don't think it's impossible. I wouldn't completely hate the call of going with someone like a Cole Palmer if you really wanted to risk it on someone like Isak or Son as well. It's not the craziest thing in the world, and these things have been known to pay off. But I think most common logic would assume that Haaland is going to be the top point scorer this week. And it would actually be quite a surprise at this point if any one of those players, even though they're good picks in their own right, did actually outscore Haaland. Now he looks fit and back to his absolute best.
Yeah, I think that it constitutes just a punt, doesn't it? If you're going against him, you're hoping that things go wrong effectively for Haaland,
which can happen.
It can exactly. The second best pick is if you aren't going with De Bruyne or you're going with Foden, it's going to be Isak, and going to be chances against Brighton, despite the good XGC. Going to be chances against United, despite nothing. They're really bad. So I think he would be kind of where I'd be looking if I was just kind of maybe kind of 200-300k to think, you know what, I need like an explosion. As I said like last week, but before I vault faced, I know I've done that, but I think that it's kind of by the by, really, with what we saw with Haaland and how City are purring. But I would be looking at Isak if I was thinking, you know what, I'm just going to try and kind of just go for it in this sort of double game week. Beyond that, I think you're really kind of starting to push it a little bit. So Son versus Burnley, you could be thinking in the single game he could do bits. I'm not entirely sure about that.
He's and not looked great recently either.
No, just not been the same since the Asia Cup, really. Yeah,
that's a good reference. I like that.
Yeah, and then Palmer as well, I suppose, could well be in the conversation. I do think that, you know, it's difficult to make a case outside of Haaland.
Run it back on Wilson, like Nick Greenwood's just said in the chat.
Just have him in, just go for it. Yeah. I don't mind owning that guy, honestly. We've spoken about him already, but captaining him is going to be. Yeah.
If he was on penalties, I would like it a lot more, because that was the enticing thing about him last year, was the fact that he didn't just have the good data, he was also on penalties. Whereas, okay, Isak has missed one, so there is a chance that he takes the next penalty, but we don't know that. Without that, it's quite hard to back him to do better in what I would assume is more limited minutes. But again, it could work out. It could happen and he could be on penalties. So yeah, I don't completely hate it if you're really chasing, but Haaland is the obvious one.
I think if you're really chasing, just go with one of the kind of the core players we spoke about earlier on, in Isak or a Palmer. I think those are the two really, and just kind of go for it. Unless you're really, really chasing, in which case, you know, it's just, whatever, just you might as well, because you're not going to finish any better really at this point, I'm afraid, it's a sad truth. But hey, so yeah, I think probably we're both looking at Haaland captain, aren't we? And
yeah,
we'll see him 38, but it might just be a bit of after the four goals this week, I think it's gonna be what it is for the rest of the season, and next year will be the time we start thinking about differential captains again.
Right, he is also genuinely going to want 30 goals now in the league, because he is on 25. He'll want two lots of 30. So yeah,
I mean, golden boots already his, annoyingly, so there's no jeopardy there. Yeah. Five goals ahead of everyone else, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then our planned bench boost teams, what we're going to do. I think we've already kind of discussed it already. For me, it's likely to be that I remove Gusto for Lewis Dunk Webster Veltman. I don't even know. I think I'll just get Dunk and then swap Semenyo over to Jackson. That gives me 13 doublers. It also gives me Areola versus Luton. It also gives me Gabriel away at Man United. So that's all right.
That is looking good.
Good enough. Triple City attack. Isak, Gordon and Livermento. Double Spurs. Triple Chelsea, of course. Dallo, lol, what am I doing with my life? And then, that's all right. I'm more than happy with that. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to Lewis Dunk heading in a couple of bullet headers throughout the course of the double.
I really like it. It looks like a really strong team.
We shall see. Hopefully that'll get me in top 100k at least. And then kind of 38 will just be about consolidation. I do have... If I do the moves tonight, so Jackson's going to rise, I've got the opportunity because I can bench Gordon in 38. I could then afford Dallo to White in 38, because the in 38, all of my kind of my front seven looks pretty good. I can bench Gordon against Brentford and I can do Dallo to White. So that's definitely, I'll have to think about that later on, whether I do the moves today. If not, I have to think about maybe something else. But yeah, there might be that I make my transfers this evening. I'm not sure yet. What about you?
Yeah, so obviously I've kind of spoken a little bit about my potential moves this week. I've got Fabian Schär just sat there rotting away now, unless Eddie Howe really pulls a blinder and has been lying about how bad his injury is, which at this point feels pretty unlikely. That is going to be my free transfer sorted for this week. And then after that, it's whether or not I want to push the boat out and take a hit for upside elsewhere. Obviously, I could do a combination of Schär and Pedro out for Wilson and X another in defence. But again, outside of Newcastle assets, are there a ton of defenders I really love the look of this week? Probably not. So it is probably going to be either Dan Burn, a Trippier or a Livramento come in for Schär. And then the -4 is probably going to have to be for either Gusto if he is unfit, although I think he probably will be fine. Garnacho just because he's been generally pretty poor recently, or try and chase upside with João Pedro to X another. But if I can't get to Jackson, I can't get to Wilson, don't want Hoyland, I'll probably just leave Pedro in and hope that he's a good differential for me, which probably just leaves the Garnacho move if I wanted to make it. And at that point, you're looking at Richarlison, you're looking at potentially Bruno. That's pretty much it. I also don't honestly completely hate bringing in Saka or Havertz a week early and then giving me that extra transfer next week where I'm not looking at bringing in an Arsenal midfielder anymore. And Arsenal, where Man United, as we've seen today, in a single game, I really don't hate it. So it's not something I'm completely ruling out, although that is on the outskirts of my thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I could bring in White this week, for example. Yeah. But I just got, I always kind of take issue and people go, oh, it's a double, blah, blah, blah. During the season proper, when it's like a random double in game week 23, we'll say, I'm always going to be preaching caution, especially if it's rubbish teams, rubbish fixtures, etc. But we're out of time now. So
yeah,
I kind of feel like it's not really, I don't know, I just feel like you might as well just kind of give it up to variance, give it up to vibes. Why not? But I mean, that might be something that people don't like. Maybe they're like, oh, in my situation where I'm kind of like looking at a dunk, people might be saying, oh, just get a Brantwaite, you know, whatever. But
we're hoping to strike gold.
Have some fun, you know. And it's like pure max variance. There's nothing else than that you're hoping to spike a little bit of luck and just spike a random set piece goal, and you're away. That's all you need. So, yeah, I completely understand if you are kind of trying to play it soberly, like a bit of an accountant. But I'm never going to be doing that on a double. Cool. Well, that is it, I think. I thought this would be quite a short one, but here we are, an hour 15 in.
Yeah, absolutely. There ended up being quite a lot to talk about. So hopefully, if you're still listening, that was helpful to you. Hopefully that's helped set you up for a bench boost, a free hit, perhaps even just rolling through game week 37 without any chips as well. Either way, we do hope we have assisted you today. Thank you all for listening. We have been Who Got the Assist. You can find us on X at WGTA_FPL or myself at FPL Pricey. And again, on Instagram and Threads at WGTA.FPL. Again, I'm just FPL Pricey on there. If you did enjoy the pod, we'd really appreciate it if you could follow us on those channels. Or of course, if you could give the pod a 5-star rating wherever you're listening. And if you're watching along on YouTube, do consider leaving a like on the video and subscribing to the channel so you don't miss out on any future content.
Lovely. Yes, thanks, Sam. We hope you enjoyed the pod. So pop you back next Wednesday, I think it is, during the Man United Newcastle game to kind of enjoy the fact that United's being spanked in the second half. Livramento, of course, completing his hat-trick as we log on. But yeah, that'll be ahead of the season reaching its conclusion in game week 38. We'll both be at FPL Meets for that on that Sunday. Check it out at FPL Meets on X. It's the Thirsty Bear in Waterloo, London. I'll likely be there from kind of, you know, 3-ish, I think. I've got some kind of family stuff in the morning, early afternoon, but I'll try to get... you need to get away for that one. It should be an amazing occasion. If you want to avoid me, don't go, but I'll be there. meantime, have a good week. All the best for the big one, and we hope we assisted you.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.